But you're with me today, and I'm so excited to be here with you. They have a week where they're getting refreshed and getting refocused as a family. And how many of y'all know that's important? And so we're thankful for that, and so thankful for them. And I get to bring the word to you today, which I am so excited about. Red letters. We're looking through the book of Revelation. There's seven letters written there. Red letters. And what makes them red? Because after you read them, then that makes them red. Some of you will get that later. Yeah, no, they're red letters. They're words of Jesus. Yeah, like they're important words. And he's writing a letter to his church. What's very interesting, in Revelation chapter 1, verse 3, there's an interesting promise here. It says, God blesses the one who reads the words of this prophecy to the church. And he blesses all who listen to its message and obey what it says, for the time is near. Now, it's interesting here. This is the only book in the Bible which has a promise about reading the word. Every other book of the Bible, like if you look at words of Jesus and other promises, there's promises for obeying. There's promises for putting it into practice. This is the only place where it says, blessed are you who read. And God wants to bless your reading. God wants to bless your time in the Word of God. When you read the Word of God, and here he's saying, blessed are you. And so he who reads. So I'm going to read to you today this prophecy, and then I'm going to be blessed. Well, but it doesn't stop there. It says, and he blesses all those who listen. Look at your neighbor and say, that's you. Come on. You're going to listen. Come on, because you're here. So I'm going to read it, and you're going to listen, and we're going to be blessed together, and we're going to look at a letter that Jesus wrote to a church called Sardis, in Western Turkey. It's one of the letters there. This was a very prosperous place. Actually, it was one of the first places they actually made coins. They printed money there. It was very luxurious, very spoiled place, very soft. Now, what's interesting about this place is it was high on a cliff. It was high on a hill. There were cliffs, and it was a very steep grade to get there. And it was one of the few places, not only, but few places, that there were no walls to protect the city. Very interesting, because, see, it was so difficult to get there. Nobody would dare try to ascend the cliffs to try to overtake the city there. And so they became very lax, became very very comfortable with where they were. But history tells us, when I say history, I can't point in the Bible and read it to you, but history tells us here that Sardis was overtaken two times by the Persians. Let me tell you how they overtook this place. One day, again, very steep cliffs, very high, and a soldier there, helmet, leaned over and was looking over, and his helmet fell off and fell down into the cliff. And so as a soldier knew he'd be in trouble without a helmet. So he literally went down, and he got it, and there was only one way back up, but the soldier knew it. There was a little crevice, a little space that only the people in Sardis knew. And so he crawled through there and climbed back up into Sardis. The enemy was watching, because the enemy, the Persians, were studying, how can we overtake Sardis? And so as they were studying how to do it, they saw this soldier go through, and they figured it out. We can get up to that point, and we can go through this little crack in the wall, this little crevice, into the cliffs and climb up into the city. And so that what happened was, in the middle of the night, two times. Now, I'm telling you this because you got to understand this story to understand the text. So two times, they were overtaken in the middle of the night because they were careless, and they thought that, like, nobody can attack us. Nobody can get to us. So let me point this out before we get started. The enemy of our soul is looking for just a crack in the wall to come and attack us. The enemy of our soul. Now, typically when we read the Bible, we read it because we're in the United States of America, Western culture, we read it very individual. That means, how does this affect me? Notice that I'm speaking to the church of Sardis. So when we listen today, we have to listen with a church mindset, not just an individual mindset. Let me tell you this again. The enemy of the church, and the enemy hates everything to do with the church. Why? Because the church represents Jesus. And the enemy is just looking for the smallest place that he can get in and attack us. The enemy's just looking for a little space. He doesn't need a lot of space. The whole Persian army went in and conquered Sardis. Why? Because somebody got careless in what they were doing and let the enemy see how to get in. We as a church, we need to be careful. Let's apply it to us here. Us. Everybody say us. Okay, all of us, we need to be careful that we're not giving the enemy access into our lives. How many of you heard that today? How many of you are going to be blessed? Yeah, how many of y'all need it? We need to put that into practice, right? Okay, so I'm just trying to give you, to understand the rest of the story, you got to understand that. You got to understand what this place Sardis really is, because we don't understand that. Now, before I get into the text, Revelation chapter 3, I want to ask you a question. It's been being asked all along here. If Jesus were to write a letter to Bridge City Church, North Braddock, what would it say? I want you just to pause right there. If he were to really write a letter to us right here, right now, I wonder what the letter would say. I may think I know some things he would say, but I'm not sure, because these aren't just the words of Pastor Rick. These aren't the words of even John, who wrote this and penned these words of Jesus. I think we need to ask ourselves each and every day, what's God saying to his church, not only what God's saying to me? Can we listen today with a we concept, with a us, all of us in it together? Can we do that together? And everybody who's willing to do that together says amen. Amen. Okay, you ready for the word now? Come on, it's about to get good. Revelation chapter 3, verse 1. Write this letter to the angel of the church in Sardis. This is the message from the one who has the sevenfold Spirit of God in the seven stars. This is Jesus speaking to this church. I know the things you do. Jesus is watching. Jesus is watching his church. He's watching everything they do. And that you have a reputation for being alive, but you are dead. Now remember, the church, now not just Bridge City Church, North Braddock, the church is the bride of Christ. Jesus is the bridegroom. You have to understand this. In bridegrooms, have you ever seen a bridegroom look at his bride? There's a certain way they do it. There's a certain way they look. They keep an eye on. They're watching. So Jesus is watching his bride. Now, I know guys in the room, it's kind of weird to think you're the bride of Christ. Come on, guys. A little weird. It's kind of hard sometimes. Am I right? Come on, it is. Like, what? I've never dreamed of being a bride. Never once, you know, just for the record. But we are the bride of Christ because we're going to be united with him. And that's really what he refers to us as here. And we're to protect that bride. We're to protect the bride from everything here. And so he says, okay, here. He says, okay, sevenfold spirit. Now, what does this mean? It may mean in Isaiah chapter 11, 2 through 4, there's seven attributes of the Holy Spirit. In Isaiah chapter 11, 2 through 4, could be referring to that. I don't know that for a fact. There's nine gifts of the Holy Spirit in 1 Corinthians 12, so that's kind of odd. But this is what I do know. The word seven is a number of completeness, fullness. And what I believe God is saying to the church in Sardis is, you're so messed up, it's going to take the fullness of God to get you cleaned up. No. See, there, something good happens when the church says, there's no hope but God. No. There's something good that happens when Jesus' people say, we need the fullness of God. We don't need a part of God. We don't just need an aspect of God. We don't just need an attribute of God. We need the fullness of God to be able to complete what he wants us to complete. That's what I'm after, and that's what I want for you, and that's what I want for Jesus' church. I want the fullness of him. I want everything he has, all the wisdom, all the understanding, all the power, all the miracles, everything that he promised us in the word, I want for you, because that's what it's going to take to be complete. the sevenfold spirit and the seven stars. What are the seven stars? I believe that refers to the seven letters to the church here that was revealed here. So important. He says, you have a reputation. Have you ever known a person that has a reputation? Y'all know that we all have a reputation, right? It represents who you are. That's what it means. It's what you're known for. What are you really, really known for here? What distinguishes you from all others? And Jesus is saying, you got this reputation, okay? This is what you're known for, okay? You look really good on the outside, but on the inside, you're dead. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you so much. I really appreciate that encouraging word that we all got out of bed for and traveled through the rain to get here. Come on. Am I right? Like, come on. He says, yeah. He says, no, on the outside, as a church, you look good. You got the lights. You got it just dim in here enough. You got a super cool worship band. You got the logo, right? You got the t-shirts. You got the Instagram. You got the social media. You got a cool kids area. You got all these things. And so he's saying, you got this reputation. But on the inside, you're dead. Thanks. You know, you can look good on the outside, but be dead on the inside. Like right now, if you look at me, well, maybe you'll come to your own conclusion. I think I look pretty healthy. I think I look pretty good. That's why I wore this shirt today, because it makes me look good. Now, some of you are saying, that's ugly. Don't say that. Keep that thought to yourself, okay? Just keep it to yourself. But, like, I look good on the outside, right? I look good. I look healthy. I'm able to move. I look, you know, pretty well here. But if I were to tell you right now, man, my blood counts are low, my iron's low, and my blood work isn't quite right, which is the truth right now, you wouldn't know that, because on the outside I look good, but on the inside something's not right. Let me try to illustrate it to you this way. Our home, Natalie and I, we've been out of our home for 6 months because of a water break into our home. And over the last 6 months, if you drive by our home, you know, the grass is cut, it looks good, everything, there's not like, you know, there's not garbage laying around, it looks like really good. So on the outside, it looks good, but if you were to walk into the inside over the last 6 months, it did not look good. It was completely torn apart. As a matter of fact, we just last Friday, 2 days ago, we moved back home. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise him. Hallelujah. We are so grateful. Come on. And so thankful. But as we got home, again, everything looks good on the outside, but we had to go into the inside. And as we got home, what we've been spending, actually about 6 days now, we've been spending cleaning every corner of the house. Because when they do a major project in your house, there is dust everywhere. And it's difficult to get out. So we've literally had to meticulously go in and take out every cup and every piece of silverware and every little thing in the whole entire house has to get washed and has to get cleaned and has to be meticulously cleaned. What I'm trying to tell you is many times we look good on the outside, but if we want to be good on the inside, we have to be willing to go through the meticulous cleaning of God. And what does he say? On the outside, you're good, but you got dead works. What are dead works? No, really, what are these dead works that he's speaking about here? What are these, like, things that he's saying, like, what is this? How about this? How about when you start doing things out of duty rather than delight? How about we do things out of recognition rather than representing Jesus? How about when we do things that we're doing a lot, but we're disconnected from Jesus? These are dead works here. We're going through the motions here. And this is what Jesus' accusation against this church. It says, man, you're just going through the motions, but you're dead on the inside. That's what he's saying. He's saying, like, see, we need to remember, the opposite of love is not hate, it's indifference. And sometimes, even in a church, even in a great church, okay, I'm trying to help you now, okay? we can be good on the outside, but we can have dead things on the inside. Because we just get indifferent. We just get to be kind of, that's the way it is. That's just the way it looks. That's just the way it shall be. Sardis, they weren't losing the battle. They lost the battle. There was no struggle. There was no persecution. They lost the battle already. They were dead. I mean, when you're dead, you're dead. I mean, how many of y'all know, like, there's only dead and not dead? That's what he's saying here. See, Sardis was a picture of inoffensive Christianity. And what I mean by that, they were no longer offending. They were no longer going forward. They just kind of got stuck because we're safe, we're good, we're in a good place, everything's fine. And we think that that's the goal, when that's not the goal, because God called us onto an adventure here. See, the problem, I'm going to say this again, I've been just kind of just thinking a lot again about so much of our time, we're serving God out of our personality rather than our spirituality. My personality is trying to get renewed, but my spirituality is staying dead. How many of y'all know we need revival of our spirit? We as a church need to say, God, I don't just want partial refining. I want the whole thing. Come on, somebody. See, that's what we're saying here. And they were lifeless. So Jesus dives right in. Verse 2, Revelation 3, his first words there are, wake up. Remember I said they were attacked at night? Wake up. See, it all starts to make sense now, doesn't it? Wake up. Yeah, wake up. Strengthen what little remains. For even what is left is almost dead. I find that your actions do not meet the requirements of my God. So go back to what you heard and believed at first. Hold to it firmly. Repent and turn to me again. If you don't wake up, I will come to you suddenly as an unexpected, as a thief here. So Jesus dives right in. Like if you like Jesus, the warm, cuddly, like, hey, let's just warm up a little bit. Hey, how you doing? You're doing good. Oh, way to go, church. Oh, awesome. I mean, he just dives in and says, wake up. I mean, that's how kind of I read it. I don't know how you need to be woken up. Like, hey, wake up. Hey, it's time to go to church. Come on, like this is the dad in me. Get out of bed. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, come on. Where's all my dads out there? Come on. Wake up. So he says, wake up. Why? Because you're sleeping. Now, I don't know how well you sleep. I am a very sound sleeper. And I am so thankful for that. If that was a spiritual gift, I got in the right line. Come on. And so, like, when I'm sleeping, I'm asleep, man. There ain't nothing going to wake me up. How many of y'all like that? Like when you're, praise the Lord. God, I feel bad for all you others, man. Wow. But he's saying, like, when you're asleep, you're not aware of anything going on. And what he's saying is, your first thing you got to do, if you're dead, you got to be willing to wake up. You got to be willing to get out of bed. That's what he's saying here. They got attacked because they were lazy and lackadaisical. They got soft. They got easy here. They were unaware. They got overconfident. Church, let's never get overconfident in yesterday. Am I at the right place today? Yeah, and then he says strengthen. Give support to something. And it's interesting that he says strengthen what little you have. And there's people in the room right now. Now I'm going to speak to you as an individual. You feel like I ain't got much. I don't have much strength. I don't have much faith. I don't know if I can go on. Jesus says you don't need a lot, but just give me what little you have. See, our little bit in God's hands is he takes it and he makes something good. So he says, strengthen what little you have. Find out what you do have and strengthen that. Find out what little bit you have in your hand and in your faith and watch what God will do with that. This literally means to walk with a cane here. And now listen, today I'm hitting you with a lot because I'm just going through the Word of God. But today when you leave here, I'm going to ask you to pick one thing and focus on that. Pick one thing, whether it's either wake up, I need to be woken up, or I need to strengthen what little I have. And I'm going to go through a couple others here. You know, one of the things I've learned I enjoy playing tennis. I really, really like it. In tennis, I don't know if you know this or not, it's a mental game. It's actually more mental than it is physical. It's a very mental game. It has a lot of swings in it. And when I'm doing poor in a match, which unfortunately is more often than I would like, you know, being 8 and 19 on the year so far is not good, okay? That's not good. But what I've noticed is when I get behind, I can't solve all the problems, but I got to go back to doing one thing well. So I want to talk to you today. See, a lot of times we come to church, we in Christianity, well, I need to read my Bible, I need to serve, I need to love, I need to do all this. How about we just focus on one thing? And let's take that little thing to God, focus on it, and say, I'm going to get this. And what I find in a tennis match, if I'll just focus on one thing, I'm going to do this well. Other things start to follow that discipline of the one thing. And so what I believe Jesus is saying here, take that little bit you got, put it all together, focus on one thing, and watch what I'll do. We can't solve all your problems today, but I can do this. We can solve one thing. We're going to wake up. We're going to strengthen what little we have. Then number three here, we're going to go back and we're going to remember. Go back to what you once believed. Go back. Go back. Remember. Do you know one of the reasons why we come to church? Because we forget all the goodness of God when we're left to ourselves. We need to remember how we first served, how we first loved Jesus. How many of y'all remember when you first met Jesus? How many of y'all remember that? Come on, I met Jesus many, many decades ago. Come on, my wife and I were talking, like when we met Jesus, like, I mean, you know, when your car got low on gas, you didn't go get gas, you prayed. No, I'm right, right? Yeah, but you need gas, and you had, I mean, none of us had any money. So you prayed, and like literally, my wife was telling me a story, like the gas gauge went up. It was like God showed up. I mean, literally, you know, like you would pray over cars. You would look at clouds, and you would see Jesus all the time. This is what happens when you go on a missions trip. You're so focused on Jesus, and you're so in love with him, and it became an adventure again, that you're in the plane, you look out the plane, and every cloud looks like a miracle. That's why you can always tell, like, people on short-term mission trips on planes because they're taking a picture of all the clouds. And it's like, no, they're clouds. No, but they see Jesus, because what I'm trying to say is when you're first in love, that's all you see. I just am in a love relationship with Jesus. And we need to go back and remember him like that. Are you with me? We need to go back and remember him where it just became alive. Come on, we all remember. We came to church and we're so excited because this place is wonderful. Pastor, I love it here. This is a great church. This is awesome. I want to be involved. And then about 6 months later, it's like, I'm scheduled again. Why do they keep putting me on the schedule? Oh my goodness, they moved up the time where the ushers have to show up and agree. Oh my goodness. And then like what I'm trying to say is it just gets old. Am I right? Oh my goodness. Like what? I'll go Sunday, and I got a group, and then I got, and then there's a prayer meeting and a worship night. No, what does that come from? It comes from because we forgot how we used to believe. We got to go back to that joy of one another, because this is what happens in church. Somebody says something stupid to you and you just focus on that and you can't get over it. And then you divorce yourself from the church and you wonder why your life is full of such misery. I'm just giving you thoughts. No, am I right? Because we forgot what the church really is for. It's for Jesus. This church isn't for me. It's not for you. It's for Jesus. And it matters to him. I mean, come on, this happens in marriage. You get married and everything's great. And then all of a sudden, this person irritates you. Am I right? Let me tell you about my morning. You know, it's like, come on, yeah. No, I'm being honest. And do you know how many problems in marriage would be solved if we would just go back to treating one another the way we did when we were dating? No, I'm trying to help you. Am I right? And church is the same way. If we would just go back to Jesus and learn about him, like when we first met him, and it was just so awesome, and he's wonderful, and he's showing me new things. But we fall into duty rather than delight, and just dead religion because we forget and we're not remembering. Are you with me? And then next, Jesus says to hold on. He says, hold on to what you received. It literally means to seize, like hold it onto your possession. Everything you've gotten from Jesus, you got to hold on to it. You got to hold on to it. I'm a child of God. He has great and marvelous things for me. No eye has seen and no ear has heard the great and marvelous things that he prepared for those who love him. I'm one of the ones who love him. And beyond anything I could ask or think, that's where my God is for me. He is for me, and I got to stir that up. I got to lay hold of that. I got to grab a hold of that. I got to seize that. Are you with me here today? See, if you don't seize that, it's just going to go, and we're just going to fall in, just like the Church of Sardis doing all these things. But we need a fresh assignment from God here. We got to step out in faith here. That's what we need to do. And listen, church. When you lose the dream, when you lose the vision for your life, and I'm not talking about like the vision of like, oh, gather to grow and the church vision. I'm talking about the purpose of your life. When you lose that, you got to go back to the assignment of God. And I believe something happens when we lose sight of the assignment from God. I have an assignment from God. And that is the most powerful thing you can have, is an assignment from God. When you don't have an assignment from God, it becomes all about what God can do for you. When you have an assignment from him, it's what I can do for him. In the Church of Sardis, they weren't laying hold of what God was doing because it was just comfortable. We're okay. It's lackadaisical. We're safe. It's wonderful. Do you ever read the Bible? It's a cool book. And all through the New Testament, the more problems they had, the better the church was. It got quiet. The more persecution it came across Jesus' people, the better they were. As a matter of fact, persecution came, the gospel spread. Because that's where God does his best work in our lives. But we have to be willing to hold on. In church, we need a fresh assignment. We need to make sure. And I believe that what God is doing right here at Bridge City Church North Braddock, God is breathing a fresh assignment on you. God is breathing a fresh assignment. God is breathing. Are you catching it? Are you catching the Holy Spirit right now? God is doing something. It's like, whoa, wait a minute. What are you talking about? We just need to be willing to step forward in faith. We're supposed to be stepping forward with an adventure. We're supposed to be stepping forward in delight. Are you with me? As a people, I'm speaking to us here today. And so last but not least, what does he say? You need to repent. You need to think differently. You got to think differently. That's what repentance is. We got to start thinking differently about God and who he is and what he's doing. How many of y'all need to think differently? I do. Because my thinking left to myself is really bad. But when I get an assignment from God, he breathes on me. And this is why one of the things I want to make sure that you have on your calendar is victory and freedom. Victory and freedom. How many of y'all could use a little victory over your past and a little bit of more freedom in your life? Come on, am I in the right place today? Come on. How many of y'all need victory over your past? And how many of y'all need freedom for your future? Okay, this is for you. It's an all-day event. Men, you're going to go to White Oak, our White Oak location. You're going to be there from 8 a.m. to about 8:30 p.m. Can't just pick and choose. You got to be for the whole thing. Ladies, you get the privilege and honor to go through a tunnel and across a bridge and go to Brighton Heights. And you're going to be there all day from 8 a.m. to about 8:30 p.m. And you get an opportunity to wake up. You get an opportunity to strengthen what little you have. You get an opportunity to remember. You get an opportunity to hold on. You get an opportunity to think different. Are you with me? So you got to get signed up like today. You got to pay. You got to get registered. You can use the QR code. You can get the connection point. You can do it online, but you got to get there. As a matter of fact, if you haven't been there in the last 18 months, you're overdue. You know that little oil light on your car that says like, hey, you're due for an oil change, and you just ignore it? Can't ignore that thing forever. Are you with me? Okay, the light's on. You need a checkup. You need a checkup. Are you with me? Okay, so you got to get to victory and freedom. Well, what's going to happen? They're going to take a look at how we can wake up, how we can be strengthened, how we can hold on, how we can remember, how we can think different. And we're going to get ourselves some spiritual breakthrough. Are you with me? See, this is what we do. That's just the invitation for you personally. But we as a church, we need to say, okay, which one of these can we put our hand to here? Which one of these can we remember here? Our assignment is clear. So Revelation 3, verse 4, you ready? Revelation 3, 4, yet there are some in the church in Sardis who have not soiled their clothes with evil. Now, when I read this, I think, did Jesus just say what I think he said? No, I'm serious. I read this several times. I'm like, did he just say what I think he said? They will walk with me in white, for they are worthy. All who are victorious will be clothed in white. I will never erase their names from the book of life, but I will announce before my Father and his angels that they are mine. Anyone who with ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand what he's saying to the churches. Do we understand what God is saying to us today? He's looking for ears to hear. He's looking for those who will read and obey. He's looking for those who will take him at his word with an adventure. That's what I signed up for here. So it's interesting here. Now, in the previous letters, he said there's a few people that aren't doing well. In this letter, he says there's only a few of you that are doing well. Do you know what most of us think in this room right now? That we're doing okay. Because we compare ourselves to somebody in the room. We find somebody in the room that looks like they're doing worse than us, and we think we're okay. It's almost like this. Like, have you ever been in a group of people, and there's always that person who thinks they're texting and nobody can tell? It amazes me. I'm in groups all the time, and like somebody's texting, and it's like they think nobody can see them texting. I'm serious. This blows me away, okay? And I'm like, we're all looking right at you. We know you're not here. You know, and this is what happens to our lives. We just kind of go through the motions, but our minds are elsewhere. We're thinking about something else. And he's saying, hey, come on. There's a few of you that got this right. And what did they get right? The rest had soiled, dirty garments stained with sin and compromise. Sin and compromise. And Jesus is saying, you haven't kept holy. Holy. God, help us return to holiness. For some reason, in Jesus' church, holiness and purity became something that we did decades ago. It became something that we used to do. It became something like those people do. And Jesus is saying there's only a few of you that haven't been soiled here. What does it mean to be clean before God? It's a Holy Spirit life. It's a Holy Spirit driven life where the Word of God washes me. The Word of God washes the sin and compromise away. The Word of God like literally cleanses me from the evil and the compromise. And every time the Word washes us with the power of the Holy Spirit, our spirit and mind, listen, we get into the washing machine. How many of y'all know we need washed with the Word? No, I want to speak to you right now. I want to speak to every person here. This holiness, this purity that I speak of, it's available to you. It's not just something so far away. God didn't put something on you that's such a weight you can't do it. You can, but you got to be willing to strengthen what little you have. We got to be willing to grab a hold of the Holy Spirit and grab a hold of it and seize it and say, Holy Spirit, come, cleanse me once again. Cleanse me by your word. Cleanse me by who you are, Jesus. That's what he's saying to us here. But what is the promise? The promise here is this. when you walk with God in holiness and purity, it says, they will walk with me in white. Our biggest difference maker is that we are walking with Jesus. I'm walking with him. Worship team, come on down. I'm walking with him. The promise of the word here, the promise, we get him. We get him. No, we get him. That's one of the most powerful things you could ever get. Him. Him. Are you there? And then there's this word about the book of life. The book of life is where everybody's name's recorded that gets to spend forever in heaven. I think that's a pretty big deal. But it's interesting here. He uses an illustration that you will be, your name will be blotted out of the book of life. What does that mean? Does that mean God's looking to blot my name out? No, he was using an illustration that the people in Sardis would understand. The people in Sardis knew that if you were convicted for a crime, see, everybody had to register. I'm a part of Sardis. I'm a part of Sardis. Like all the registrants. And the life was, is if you got convicted and then you got executed because of your conviction, they literally blotted your name out and it was as if you never existed. What Jesus was using in the illustration that they could relate to, he's saying in the book of life, you don't want your name blotted out as if you never existed. Now, I'm not trying to make a theological statement. I'm just trying to tell us today here, in this moment, I'm trying to use the illustration of what they would have in Sardis and what they knew. Is that good? But what I'm trying to say is, when we're walking in purity and holiness, then we don't have to worry about that. That's the exciting thing. I don't got to worry about any of that because I'm walking with him in white here. That's what I'm doing here. Okay, Revelation 19, 7 and 8. Okay, now this is further on in the book of Revelation. I want to try to bring this white, this revelation. Let us be glad and rejoice, and let us give honor to him, for the time has come for the wedding feast of the Lamb, and his bride has prepared herself. Are you tracking that? The bride is preparing herself, and she has been given the finest of pure white linen to wear. Come on. For the fine linen represents the good deeds of God's holy people. The good things that we're doing, the deeds of God, we're going to be clothed with, because that's what his church is clothed with. And that's what he's saying to the church of Sardis. And you get to walk with me. You get to be with me. Wow, isn't that super cool? Come on. That is just so awesome. Are you ready just not to listen to the word of God, but respond to it today? Not really. Are you really ready to respond? Not just listen, but obey and say, God, I want to grab a hold of, and I don't know where you are today. Maybe it's time to strengthen, or maybe it's time to wake up. Maybe it's time to remember. Maybe it's time to, hold on. Maybe it's time to think different. I don't know. How many of you can find at least one of those things you need to focus on today? How many of y'all can find one? Okay, just one. I see one. Lord, all five. I can't get all five, right? But I can get one. Let's stand to our feet then. And the first question I have for you is this. First question, is your name written in the book of life? Do you have a day, a moment, or time when Jesus in heaven, in his book, you repented of your sin? You said, Jesus, I'm sorry, I'm a sinner, forgive me. Now I want you to lead my life. Jesus pens in the book of life when we respond in faith like that. Forgive me for my past. Lead me to my future. Let's go on this adventure together. before I go into the next part here, I just want to ask you a serious question. Do you have a day, a moment, or time when your name was written in the book of life? Because only those with their name written in the book of life gets to go to heaven. And our job here is to make heaven big and hell small. So I want to ask you a question. Ask you a question right now. Is everybody in here, do you have a date and a time where your name was written in the book of life? If not, you came to the right place, because we want you to have faith in Jesus. Faith in Jesus of who he is, and faith in him to begin this relationship. So Father God in heaven, let every person here, Lord God, if they don't have a date, let today be their date. If they don't have a time, let today be their time. Lord God, let this be a moment right now in heaven, Lord God. Let this be a moment right now. Right now, Father, for them. Let faith come alive. Let the scales of their eyes fall off. Let everything, Lord God, be for you, God. Now, if you're here today and you don't have that, your name in the book of life, but you'd like it to be, this is what I want you to do right now, right here in this moment, in this prayerful moment. I want you right now, right here, to slip up your hand, say, Pastor, that's me. I want to get my name in that book. That's a very important book. I want that to be my day. Anybody here today? Anybody here? Can't move on until we ask this question. This is a big one. This is a big one right here. Praise God. Okay. Good. Okay, now let's look at his last scriptures real quick. I'm not going to read all these to you, but you're probably going to want to take a picture of them, because it talks about cleansing your heart, cleansing your life. The worship team is going to do their awesome job that they always do. They're going to lead us in a song right now. And as they lead us in a song right now, we're going to have an opportunity to respond. I don't know what you need to respond to. Wake up, remember, cleanse my mind, cleanse my heart, cleanse my life. I don't know what you need to respond to, but we're going to make a time for you to respond to God. Then I'm going to pray for us as a church. Now, and I know every time I'm here, people say, Pastor Rick, why do you ask people to come up front? Because if I can't move you from where you are to up front, I'll never move you into your world to make a difference. That's why. Real simple. I just think sometimes God asks us to do things on the outside that he's doing on the inside. Do you want to join me up front right now? Just move up front. Let's sing this song. Come on. This is just a time where, like, God, cleanse my heart. Come on. That's all you're saying. One of those five things. Wake up. Remember. Strengthen what little. Hold on. Or repent. Think differently. Come on. Let's just respond together. One heart. One mind. One strength. Come on. Fill in the middle here. Come on. Fill it in. They're going to lead us. Let's worship God and honor him, because we're not done yet today. Let's go. Let's worship.
For those who run to him, who place their hope and confidence.